Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also Chief Science Officer of the Obesity Medicine Association and Editor-in-Chief of Obesity Pillars, which is the official journal of the Obesity Medicine Association. Welcome to this podcast entitled Obesity, a Disease, which is the official podcast of the Obesity Medicine Association. What we do in my podcast is we go over a fairly recent article that was published in Obesity Pillars, and then we try to target and try to locate people that give us just the the best perspective on how these articles are applicable to the practice of obesity medicine. We're just so fortunate to have with us today. Dr. Yuval Pinto. Dr. Pinto, why don't you give the folks a sense about who you are and what you do?
Thank you very much, Dr. Bays. My name is Dr. Yuval Pinto. I am an obesity medicine fellow at Johns Hopkins University. I am also the obesity fellow representative and by training on a board certified family medicine physician.
Well, there you go. So that just realizes exactly what I said earlier is the article we're going to be talking about is one entitled Obesity Medicine as a Subspecialty and United States Certification, a Review. Dr. Angela Fitch, first author, former president of the OMA, she was first author. And for those of you that are curious about where we stand as far as obesity medicine being a bona fide specialty and such, I would encourage you to read this. I have my opinion if that's ever going to happen. Other people have their opinions. But at least with regard to this article, I think it was an objective conclusion that decisions regarding a transition to an ABMS recognized obesity medicine subspecialty is versus the what we currently have, which is the ABOM diplomate certification, should best consider medical access. How many of these folks would be available to our patients who need this type of care, and what sort of investment that would be required on the part of obesity medicine clinicians in order to achieve this sort of status. So let's get right into it, because like I said, buckle up, folks. We got somebody that isn't just have an opinion about it. He lives this. So I think, as most people know, there's kind of a dual track when you're getting this, what we currently have as far as certification. There's the continuing medical education track, but there's also the fellowship track. But quite frankly, I don't know that too many people know much about the current state of obesity medicine fellowship. So Dr. Pinto, let's just start right from the beginning. Why did you choose this track of an obesity fellowship?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for asking such an interesting question that I believe that most listeners are going to find super useful. As a rural family medicine resident, I can reflect back and remember how I drove home every day through the mountains of the Shenandoah and thinking how I'm doing for my patients. Do I really treating the root cause of most of the pathologies that I see in clinic, or am I just treating the symptoms? So like most primary care residents and physicians around the country, I was dealing with some sort of like insulin resisting flavors or in pathologies such as hypertension, prediabetes, diabetes, obstructive sleep apnea, all of which have a very one common denominator, which is obesity. And one patient that really struck me the most was a young guy who I actually met in the ED. He came in for stroke, never had a PCP. My workup at the ED found that he had an A1C of 14%, which was really uncontrolled. He did have a stroke. We admitted him to the hospital and the residency took care of him. And most importantly, I actually approached him and I asked him, how committed are you to engage on a like a year, 2 year long treatment for reversing his diabetes? And that was the beginning of really an amazing relationship that ended up with the person, the patient, actually reversing his diabetes. Reflecting on this experience, I decided to pursue a career of a different approach to treating chronic conditions, or at least most of the chronic conditions most primary care are treating. And a local endocrinologist at the hospital introduced me to obesity medicine. I attended Obesity Week in Texas, and with the really unparalleled support of my faculty at the time, Dr. Miller and Dr. Mistry, I was sent to two away rotations in two obesity medicine clinics around the country, which just strengthened my decision to pursue a career in obesity medicine. I researched a lot about this track that I believe gave me a lot of tools, and maybe I can elaborate more how exactly I believe my training is a little different, but I applied to many programs around the country, and luckily I got into my top choice. So that was pretty much my story.
Okay, so just give the folks a sense about how many fellowships are available in obesity medicine.
Yeah, so around the country, we have 31 programs, and that number actually is increasing every year. Currently, there are 27 fellows around the country. I believe next year there are going to be 29. And historically, 172 fellows graduated obesity medicine fellowship. So the numbers are not high, but I believe that in the future, more and more people will understand that if obesity medicine is something that they want to do best, that track is probably the best track for them.
And so from a logistical standpoint, you applied for a fellowship in obesity medicine just like you would have applied for a fellowship in anything else. Is that correct?
This is correct, yeah. Maybe the logistics are a little different because most fellowships in the country are through an electronic process. I apply directly to the program, but everything is done through a website. And the website is called obesitymedicineomfellowship.org. So all the information is there, two letters, OM and then fellowship.org. And this is basically the website of the Obesity Medicine Fellowship Council, the OMFC. I researched and kind of like read about the programs online. And in fact, I also met some of the program director in Obesity Week, which is a yearly meeting of most obesity clinicians around the country and the world. I had interviews that was as similar to any other specialty, if not even more challenging, in my opinion. And I was really, really happy with the process. It was a nice process. And as I said, I ended up in my first choice, but even my second and third would still be as good.
Okay. So you get accepted to the fellowship. Did you have to move? How long was the program? And again, I just want to give the people a sense about your journey, about how it affected you in a pragmatic and a logistical way.
Yeah, I trained in Western Maryland, which is right on the border of Maryland and Pennsylvania, and I had to move to Baltimore, which is an hour and a half, located an hour and a half away from my previous location. So I did move from Frederick to Baltimore just to be near all the sites that I had to rotate during my rotation. So currently, I live in Baltimore, and most people who apply, unless they're geographically near their top choice, have to move. From a very short questionnaire we did among our fellows, actually geography was the number one factor, and most people are willing to move. So we actually did it recently. We asked 27 of our fellows to give us a sense of what guides them, and geography and academic name was the top two. So yeah, most fellows do move for that.
And how many years is it?
It's a one-year program that involves in most places rotating through clinics that teach the fellow more about most of the obesity complication pathologies. Most of the programs are in academic centers, so many of our fellows have a core rotation that is quite similar, and that involves clinical nutrition, some rotations at the OR doing some bariatric, pre and post bariatric training. Some of our fellows actually learn more about metabolic associated fatty liver disease, and they learn how to perform some tests specific for that pathology. We have a few fellows who would love to specialize in polycystic ovarian syndrome and the infertility aspect of obesity, and we have that. My own experience in Johns Hopkins was actually all the above. My rotations so far were extremely useful and almost in a way, almost like eye-opening for me. For my better understanding of the field of obesity and how to treat it better. I rotated through many rotations that changed my whole approach to obesity care as an obesity doctor. Just to name a few, my first rotation was like emotional connection to obesity. So I rotated through psychologists and psychiatrists who are experts in binge eating syndromes. I currently learning more about strength training with our in-house physical therapist who specializes in hypertrophy and how to make sure people are not wasting muscle. As we all know, GLPs are relatively new medications, and this is one of the side effects we're trying to avoid. So I'm doing that. But I did so many other amazing things like clinical nutrition, some habit changing, and as I said before, pre and post bariatric care, which was really adding to my toolbox as an obesity fellow and hopefully in the future also obesity doctor.
So as I mentioned at the very beginning here, I think most clinicians, if they're going to become diplomates of obesity medicine, what they do is they get the required number of continuing medical education credits, and then they have to take an exam, okay? So that's that one track, the CME track, okay? Your track, the fellowship track, what I'm hearing from you is you apply to a fellowship. If you get accepted, then you do a fellowship of 1 year. Now, after that, do you also have to take the exam in order to be a diplomate, or are you exempt from the exam?
Fellows need to take the exam in order to be a diplomate. Yes, indeed. We have a different, we don't need to take the CME, I believe, right. but the fellowship track, and again, this is my humble opinion, aside from being recognized as a diplomat, I think the exposure to all the things that I talked about before really goes long, long way. I believe that day to day, there is a big difference between like passing an exam or actually having an exposure to so many things that build you up as a specialist in all fields, and obesity is included. And of course, it's all rooted in how we actually perceive obesity as disease. And the name of the podcast is Obesity as a Disease. It's a different track, probably not for everyone. And really, you know, it all depends on where the physician wants to do this extra training. It's another year in training. For me, it was a year worth spending because being very honest, I feel that I'm able to actually put the joy back in my day-to-day life, and it really reflects on my patients. I feel that I learned so much doing that. And one of the things that I can reflect upon is just a few months into the fellowship, I was so surprised because I realized how much I don't know about obesity. Opening a small little clinic in Western Maryland was one thing, but working with so many experts in so many pathologies that are obesity related is another thing. And the growth, the personal growth as a clinician and as an obesity specialist is really tremendous for me.
So for me, for disclosure, after 4 years of medical school, I did 3 years of internal medicine, and then I did 2 years of endocrinology and metabolism. But I got to tell you, after listening to you, had this been available, back in the day, I don't know, you make it sound pretty enticing. I think you're a great spokesperson for the obesity fellowship pathway. And maybe there are a lot of people that really didn't know much about that. And if they didn't, I would really encourage them to go back and look at this Obesity Pillars article. And if people wanted to go above and beyond that, why don't you tell them again, what are the kind of resources or the links, you know, the internet links that they can go to get more information about an obesity medicine fellowship?
Yeah, so definitely start by going online to omfellowship.org and researching what fellowships are close to you, maybe are affiliated in your residency. If you're a listener and you are an internal medicine, family medicine, pediatrics, endocrinologist, GI specialist, and you wanna know more, so I would also suggest rotating with an obesity trained doctor in one of in a major clinic. For me, it was really it was a milestone, because only by working for 2-3 months with experts, I looked at them and I said, this is what I want to do, probably for the rest of my career. I feel that I had a like aha moment doing that, both at the Cleveland Clinic and at Hopkins. So if you're in training, seek some opportunities, some shadowing. Maybe you do have an obesity specialist in your hospital. Maybe he or she are endocrinologists. Maybe they're GI specialists. Research and look around. We are also, there are so many conferences yearly. So even going to a conference and networking would be a good idea. Obesity Week is an amazing first step. It's every year. And, you know, you can always Google if a candidate is interesting, we can always Google it and just go there. In training, I think most programs would love for a resident to go and participate in an event like that and see if it's for you. And if it's for you, my recommendation is to, if you believe that it's that's what you feel that you're doing, do it. Just as a side note, currently in the residency, we have pediatricians. We have people who completed a GI residency and they're decided to specialize in obesity. We have that. In the past, subspecialties such as rheumatology and other subspecialties from internal medicine are all, they were all candidates. So people do some two or three fellowships sometimes.
Yeah, that's just amazing. This has just been a wealth of information. I must say that when we were developing this this publication, I think we came to understand that there are a lot of folks out there that just don't know much about obesity medicine fellowships. And I think just this brief time that we've talked here, I think this is going to be just so useful for people who maybe have been thinking about this, but have never really had any kind of serious discussion about it. And the idea that we can go from this podcast to then maybe go to a link on a website and get more information and then maybe read this this publication, I think it's going to be really helpful. So here's what I would like to close with. Now that you've you're in this track and such, what is your, if you had to pick like the single most important aspect that you think is going to really make a difference by doing the fellowship track as opposed to maybe, you know, doing the CME track, what would that one thing be that you think, you know, this is why the fellowship track, at least for you, okay, at least for you, this is why doing the fellowship track was the right path that you took?
This is a great question, and I think that we live right now through a really exciting times in obesity management. You know, the field is so dynamic. New medications are always being introduced to the market, and the future of that field is really, I think, is endless. Answering your question, I think one of the things that I could reflect upon is how obesity is so multifactorial. It's never one thing. It's never just the food, or it's never just the exercise. Or one of the things that I think people would appreciate more, seeing more and more obesity patients in the clinic, is to understand the real complexity of that pathology. And in a way, this is a shift, even in the medical approach to obesity. We now understand that so many things are related to obesity, whether is it sleep and chronic stress or chronic steroid use or so many other things. And I believe that seeing more patients and being precepted by obesity trained doctors could actually shape a future clinicians who agrees to really concentrate his career in just weight management, obesity care. And again, I think in the evolution of the field, you know, kind of like piggybacking what you said earlier today, that we started in different times, I think this is an exciting time to obesity medicine. And I really hope more listeners around the country are going to listen to this podcast and consider that path.
Well, I'll just go back to what I said before. I know that this is not a topic that is clear to many, if not most, people who are interested in obesity medicine. And I think the information that you have provided, I just think people are going to find it to be amazing, because, you know, maybe they don't even choose to do the fellowship. Maybe they listen to this and they say, that's just way too much. I just don't think I could do that. I really wasn't thinking about it, but now I know I don't want to do it, because that just sounds like a very intense program, plus taking a year out of my life. Not sure that's something I want to do. But I will bet that there are a lot of people that are listening to this. They're going to say, I want to know more. And if that's the message that we can get across, that there are other places that people can go to get more information about something that could, just as it has changed your path in medicine and in life, could change their path in medicine and in life. I mean, that's what these podcasts are all about. Okay, well, Dr. Pender, thank you so much. I think this has just been truly amazing. I would again encourage people to, you know, to look at this Obesity Pillars articles we published on obesity medicine as a subspecialty, again, in Obesity Pillars, our official journal. And, you know, one last time, just really want to thank you, Dr. Pinto, for just a wonderful discussion of a topic that we just don't talk about enough.
Yeah, my pleasure, and good luck, everyone. And if I was like an opinion that led to someone's career change, please research it, you know, omfellowship.org. There is a fellowship. The fellowship is great, and good luck for everyone.
All right. You've been listening to Obesity, a Disease.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Obesity, a Disease. For more information about obesity medicine podcasts and other valuable resources from the clinical leaders in obesity medicine, please visit www.obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode and want to listen regularly, head over to iTunes, where you can subscribe, rate, and leave us a much appreciated review. The views expressed in this episode are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please join us again for our next episode of Obesity, a Disease.